indicted, everybody's guilty. The Jews, the Gentiles, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so we're moving on now to Romans chapter 5, and I've entitled this message, Peace with God. Peace with God. How many people in the world, and like Lynn brought up this morning, you know, Israel under attack again, it's the same old song, different verse. It's been happening for thousands of years. The Philistines against the Jews, the Ammonites against the Israelites. It's a constant battle of God's people against wicked ones and the wicked ones against God's people. And it just keeps going on and on and on. So we're looking forward to that day when, like say, the Prince of Peace, shall reign. But how many people are trying to find peace in their life outside of all the wars that are going on around the world and all the terrorism and all the acts of violence and stuff like that? How many people are looking for peace and they're looking for, yes, ma'am, amen. Everybody can raise their hand for that. But a lot of times we're looking for it in the wrong place. Because we're, you know, how many people have ever heard, hey, I'm going to go out and find myself. I'm going to go up in the mountains and I'm going to go find myself. Well, I found myself one time and it was ugly. It was not pretty. So I don't want to find myself. I want to find the Prince of Peace. Amen. The only one who can give me peace. But a lot of people are looking to their money, their finances, their job, whatever, their spouse. They're looking in all the wrong places to find peace. And they may find it temporarily. They may find it maybe after smoking a couple of joints and having a few shots of whiskey. You mean, ah, I'm at peace again. But it's going to be, it's not going to give you that everlasting peace that you don't ever have to search for again. So why is it people look at us and go, how is it the world is falling apart around you, Job? How is it, Job, that you can lose everything and still have peace? And you can say things like, though he slay me, still I will trust him. How is that possible? Because we have hope in Jesus Christ. And this is what it says. And we'll go to therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through ourselves? Through our efforts? No, through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have been justified by faith. That word justified means declared righteous. So we have been declared righteous by God. This is like I was talking to my dad yesterday. You know, he had gotten a speeding ticket years back. And he said, you know, I went in, Charles, to pay the speeding ticket, and I paid the speeding ticket. And it didn't declare me innocent. It declared me justified. The state no longer had an issue with me. Okay? They weren't going to issue a warrant for me anymore because I had paid that price. Well, guess who paid our price? Amen?
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ, we've been justified, so we have been made declared righteous. So there's two words I put down here in my notes that people spend a lifetime struggling with. There's two words. If only. If only I had taken this job and not that job. If only I had married this person and not that person. If only I had gotten out of that relationship sooner. If only I hadn't sold that house. If only I had bought land in Heber 30 years ago. We all go through life with this if only, if only, if only. Well, now the if only has been solved. We have Jesus Christ to say, it doesn't matter about all this other extra stuff around that's coming at you. We can have peace in the midst of a storm. So we're not fighting God anymore. Okay, until you are a believer, you are fighting against God. And you're saying, no, God, I don't really believe that. I need to do it my way because we want to feel like we're in control. We talked about that in discipleship class this morning. We all want to feel like we're in control of our life when we're in reality. How much control do we have? Hardly any, if any at all. Okay, it doesn't matter what your status is in life. We hardly have any control at all. So what everyone is really searching for is peace with God. That is our battle. And you'll see people that are non-believers, they're still shaking their fist at God. And this is why in the Bible it talks about the gnashing of teeth in the outer darkness. They're in hell and they're still angry. How dare you throw me in hell? I thought you were a loving God.
And so it continues. Religion doesn't offer peace. Money won't buy it. The pursuits of this world only leave us restless, unsatisfied, and even more disenchanted than ever. What is it Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 1:1? He said, vanities of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanities. So having that peace with God is what we're looking for.
So we go to the next slide here. This is a quote from R.C. Sproul.
R.C. Sproul said, and this caught my attention this week. We can go to the next slide. I'll show you what it says here. Christians have nothing to be smug about. Now, the next sentence caught my attention. It says, we are not righteous people. I said, whoa, wait a second, R.C. What did you just say? We are not righteous people trying to correct the unrighteous, just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. And you're going to see here in a minute that I'm going to put this whole sermon around this quote by R.C. Sproul here, because I'm going to dissect this. What is he saying? We are not righteous people trying to correct the unrighteous, just one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. So let's go through this. Peace with God. The next slide here says, quit thinking you are not righteous. Well, that's what R.C. Sproul said. We are not righteous. We are righteous. How? Years ago, I would have agreed with this statement. How are we righteous? By our faith in Jesus Christ. We have been made the righteousness of God, right? So this sounds good. It sounds like a humble statement. It's false humility, though. This is false humility, and it can be just as bad as pride. I'm not worthy, but he said so. We are righteous. We are not beggars. We sit at the table. Think about this. We are righteous. We sit at the table with him. How are we not righteous? We have been made righteous by him. We're going to go to these verses here in a minute. And we're not beggars. We can be confident of who we are because of Jesus. So these three things. Quit thinking you're not righteous. Quit begging and quit being anxious and start rejoicing. And we're going to go into these three things here real quick. We need to correct some old and erroneous, misguided, false ways of thinking to have peace with God. When I was brought up, I always thought, you know, I've got to be acting a certain way, doing a certain thing, being in a certain place at a certain time, never miss a church service, this, or I'm going to not be acceptable before God. When he says the absolute opposite, he says, we should rejoice if we truly have faith. Let's rejoice. We are counted righteous, and we are sons and daughters. We are no longer in opposition to him, and that's the point I want to make. We're no longer in opposition to God. We have repented, and we've been born again. We're not fighting him anymore, and that withstands all the peace of that passes understanding. So for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. See that? That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin. Who would that be? Jesus. Amen. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So quit believing you're not righteous. You can't have peace with God if you still think you're an unforgiving sinner or a beggar. Does that make sense? How are you going to have peace with God if you still think you're unforgiven? How are we going to have peace with God if we still think we need to beg to be accepted by others, to be a certain status? We cannot have peace with God if you're still thinking you have to act, behave, talk, walk a certain way, what I call behavior modification. We were talking about this morning. You ever been around someone who you thought you had to walk on eggshells around them? You know, tippy toe, because if I dare slip up 1 minute, I'm going to get yelled at, hollered at. We don't have to walk on eggshells around our Lord. He knows who we are. He knows what we're about. He loves us even in our imperfections. Even when we do the things that we say, I'm going to annoy God, or I'm going to disappoint God, so I'm going to have to walk on eggshells. No, we can relax and be us. Okay, he intimately knows us. You know, go to Psalm 139 and other scriptures where God talks about how intimately he knows you. And you think, well, if he really knew me, he wouldn't really like me. No, he more than likes you. He loves you. Okay, there's like and love, right? In Spanish, it's te quiero or te amo. It means to do. Te quiero is to like. Te amo is the Spanish have a word for it. We just say we love everything in America. We love everything. We love apple pie, baseball, hot dogs, whatever else. But in Spanish, they separate the te quiero love can be a love, but it's more of a like, I'm a friend, you're kind of a friend love. Te amo is only reserved for the most intimate of relationships between a husband and a wife, or maybe a mother and a daughter, or son and a father. So we don't have to walk on eggshells anymore. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in high heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. This is the way we need to think. You know, we're no longer a sinner. What's that song? I'm no longer a sinner. Okay? So we need to accept the fact that we're righteous, holy, and blameless. That's who we are. We weren't before. We were considered unrighteous because of our unbelief. But now we are accounted righteous because of our belief and our faith in him. So the next thing is quit begging. Quit begging. So in my life, I always struggled to be liked. I always struggled. I wanted everybody to like me. You know, and if you didn't like me, I would try to find out, why don't you like me? And then I would try to modify my behavior around you so you would like me, or I would try to fit in with your group. So, I could ride with the Harley-Davidson bikers, and I could go over here and ride with the little Yamaha bikers or whatever, you know. So I tried to, be a chameleon, and I wasn't being me. And it was just where I could be accepted and liked by everybody. And we don't have to do that. We've been accepted. We say, quit begging for attention. Quit begging for anything. We're not beggars. We're children of God. The problem is we can't be ourselves if we're constantly concerned with who likes us and who doesn't. We will constantly be basing our actions and behavior on what someone else approves or doesn't approve. So marriages where you can't be yourself, they don't last. They don't. If you can't be yourself in your own home, you're going to be in a constant state of contention. And you're going to feel like you got to walk on eggshells. And so our marriage to the Lord is different. He says, hey, you're mine in spite of all your imperfections. You don't annoy me. You don't disappoint me. I love you. Okay? If there's anything that needs to change about you, I will bring that change. You don't need to do anything. Amen? So I wanted to talk to you about this story where there was a beggar and he was sitting at the gate called Beautiful. And I'll just read you this story and let's see what happens to this beggar. It says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the Beautiful Gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to them.
So Jesus is
directing our lives, and at some points in our lives, he says, look at me. Jesus says, you need to focus on me. Get your mind off of this world. Get your mind on whatever's causing not peace in your life. You know, if you're worried about, you know, this, and you're worried about that, and you've got this anxiety, you cannot have peace in your life. God says, listen, I'm going to give you the peace that surpasses all understanding. So here's this guy who doesn't even have a name. Notice he's not even mentioned by name in the scripture. He doesn't even have a name. And he's looking for a nickel. He's just looking for a nickel, and he runs into the two disciples of Christ. And he gets healed. He gets made whole. And this guy hadn't done any good thing. What had he done? He couldn't even walk. They had to carry him to the gate. He hadn't done any good thing. He's kind of like the thief on the cross. He was lame from birth. In other words, never had a chance. This would be a guy that in this world we would say, this guy, you don't even have a chance. You know, why don't you just end your life? This would be a guy that was, you know, what chance do you even have? You can't even walk. You've been lame this way all your life. Your life is over. This is what the enemy wants to tell us. Your life is over. You don't have a chance. You're done. You're washed up. You're has-been. You were born on the wrong side of the railroad tracks. You'll never get anywhere in life. And this is what the enemy does to us, to rob us of that peace. And then Jesus shows up and says, I'm going to restore you. I'm going to make you whole. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to give you encouragement, hope, and a new way. I'm going to give you grace upon grace. Amen? And he's going to make you whole. So quit laying around begging and fix your eyes upon Jesus. Amen? Quit laying around begging for something to happen in life. Start walking. What did this guy do? He said, rise up and walk. You know, he gave him a little helping hand. Said immediately his legs and ankles and stuff were strengthened, and he started walking. And then he started leaping and praising God. And that's going into our next point here in a minute, rejoicing. So we need to quit thinking we're not righteous. Oh, poor old me, I'm just a really bad sinner. And, you know, I'm barely making it in life, and I'm beat down, and I just can't do anything right. No, in God's eyes, you're doing everything right because you believe. And he has counted to you, he has made you righteous. And we are counted to be the righteousness of God by faith. So we can leap up too, you know, and I had a note in here. I said, you know, the devil, he's going to take a look at you one day. And he's going to say, I thought I had you, Jonathan. I thought I had you destroyed. And look at you now, leaping and praising God. The devil hates that. He hates when you rejoice. He hates when we sing the words, even though we got them wrong this morning. He hates us singing praises to the Lord. He can't stand it. I can imagine him just sitting there going like this. You know, stop, just please stop. And same way when he sees your life and he sees the favor of God upon your life. He's like, whoa, 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 how did that happen? Just like they said here, they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. What had happened to him is he had an encounter with the living God. That's what happened to him. And when we encounter Jesus and we fix our eyes upon Jesus, it changes our total perspective. You know, the problem is we get back in the world Monday through Saturday, and we start looking at all the little problems we have and all the little things that are coming at us. And God, the world's coming to an end. They're bombing Israel again and everything else that's going on out there, you know, and the presidential election and everybody fighting about this and fighting about that. No one enlisted as a soldier entangles themselves with the events of this life, with the affairs of this life. That's scripture. We don't need to entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life. Because we're not of this world. We're already taken out of this world spiritually. We're already born again. We're already a new creation. We're already living forever. So why even worry about these things? So we're not beggars. We're sons and daughters. Galatians 3:7 says this. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And we all remember the story where John the Baptist was baptizing. And the Pharisees came up to John the Baptist. And how did he greet them? Hello, religious people. It's great to see you guys out today. How did he greet them? You brood of vipers, who warned you? Who warned you of the coming wrath of God? And they're like, whoa, 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 what are you calling us? Brood of vipers. We got our holy stuff on, man. We're holy. And they were, and he's saying, don't presume. The verse in Matthew says, do not presume that just because you have Abraham as a father, that you are righteous. And he says this, he says, know then that it is those who are faith are the sons of Abraham. He was calling them out and saying, none of your religious works, none of your righteous acts, none of that counts. It's your faith. So we are sons and daughters by faith. Galatians 3:6 says this, for in Jesus Christ you are all sons of God through faith. We're not beggars anymore. Philippians 4:10 says this, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now, growing up, we used to say, every need, not every greed. And we would kind of run with that. Well, he didn't say every greed. You know, we always want more. But God says, I'm going to supply every need of yours according to his riches and grace and glory. Now, the question is, do we believe this or not? This is where we exercise our faith. We say, we can read that. Oh, that sounds good. But do we believe this? Or are we going to walk in this? And that's how we're going to have peace with God, is actually believing what he said. Because how many times did Jesus say things that people did not believe? They didn't believe who he said who he was. They didn't believe he was who he said he was. They didn't believe a lot of things he said. Many walked away. Many said, no, 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 I do not believe. And so, do we really believe that God's going to supply all our needs? So we can start rejoicing. And Philippians says this, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And here it goes, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will do what? Guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we actually have a bodyguard, guys. You know, God is going to guard our hearts and minds that where we don't get taken away by the things of this world. And we don't go down these little trails we're not supposed to be on and get all worried and anxious about nothing when he says, I'm going to supply all your needs. Okay, and we talk about the cup overflowing. You know, my cup runneth over. You know, all through the scripture, God is giving always more and more and more. And so we accept that by faith. Romans 5:2 says this, through him, we have also obtained through him, who is him? Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access, how? By faith into what? This grace in which we stand. So we stand in this grace. This is what we stand on. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Okay, I say it all the time. For believers, for Christians, it only gets better. It only gets better. It may seem to be getting worse for a little while. We may seem to be going down the wrong road, but God's going to turn it around for our good. We stand in and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And this is where our faith is exercised. It's easy to rejoice when things are good, right? Yeah. Oh, things are great. Doing great. Job's great, money's good, wife's doing great, husband's doing great, kids are great, everything's great, you know. I'm on the golf course, Jeff. Everything's great, right? Everything's going good. What happens when lightning strikes and we're on the golf course? Woo! Okay, now we're going, oh, okay, we're supposed to rejoice in this? Yeah, rejoice and get off the golf course. But we are to rejoice in all things rejoice. So That's where our faith is carried out. That's where Job's faith was carried out. When things are not going the way he thought they should be. And he had lost control of his entire life. But yet God says he knew the promises of God, just as we know. So if we know them, let's exercise that in faith, that God's going to do something good. It's like the guy, I can't remember the story correctly, but guy at Christmas time, my dad used to tell his story. He had gotten like a bale of hay for Christmas. It's all the family could afford. And the guy came in on Christmas morning and said, hey. And the mom and dad said, hey, we got you a bale of hay for Christmas. He goes, awesome, where's the horse? Because, you know, and that's how we need to look at it as Christians is, okay, I got a bale of hay here. God's got something better coming. He's got more glorious. See, where that horse is coming. We need to look at it that way. So rejoice always. 1 Thessalonians says this, 5:16-18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. We talked about how we pray without ceasing. We talked about prayer, how that's not just something we do, you know, at a certain time every day or right before we go to bed or when we get up in the morning. We pray all during the day. How many times a day do you pray, Maria? All day, every day. Same thing with me. Same thing with most of us. We're going somewhere. We're doing something. While we're walking by faith, we're praying, constantly praying. You know, God, lead me. God, guide me, because I know you have good things for me. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. Okay? Guide me in that. So pray without ceasing, giving, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You ever wonder about what the will of God is? Well, one is it that you believe. John 6:40 says the will of God is that we believe. And number two here is the will of God is that we rejoice, we pray, and we give thanks in all circumstances. Very simple. Very simple to understand what the will of God is and how we can have that in our life. So just to recap, quit thinking you are not righteous. We are righteous in him. We are not beggars. We are sons. We sit at the table. We're invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We will sit at the table. We should rejoice if we truly have faith. Let's rejoice we are counted righteous. Let's rejoice we are sons and daughters. Let's rejoice that we have peace with God. We're no longer fighting him. We are no longer in opposition. We have repented. We have been born again into the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for another time to dive into your word, to learn of your righteousness, Lord, and your peace that you have given to us and that we can be partakers of. We look forward to that day, Lord. We do when we sit at the table with you, Lord. And you said we're no longer servants. We're friends. We're even more than that. We're sons and daughters. And we rejoice in that. And we look forward to the day we see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen.